Heroes of Civilization, presented by Dr. Norvi Dumaria. There is a dim world peopled by myriads of vague, semi-invisible creatures, some of whom are friendly, others so foul that when they invade the world of man, they ravage whole continents, leaving disease and death in their wake. No man had ever peered into this strange world, and no man even knew that the silent, mysterious assassins who peopled it existed, until Anton Leeuwenhoek, the Dutch draper who was born in 1632 at Delft in Holland, saw them with his magic eye. And the day he first discovered these wriggling, squirming, loathsome creatures in a drop of clear rainwater made medical history, for he was the first man to discover microbes. The Leeuwenhoeks were brewers in Holland, and Anton was sent to school to be trained as a government official. But he hated school, and at 16 went to work in a draper's shop at Amsterdam. At 21, he returned to Delft, where he married and settled down in a draper's shop of his own, where he remained all his life. During the first 20 years, he developed a craze for grinding lenses. The townsfolk thought him slightly mental and jeered at him for pursuing such a strange hobby. But he took no notice and went on grinding his lenses, each one better than the last, until he ground the most marvelous lens of all, the lens through which he saw the microbe kingdom. It is the year 1691, and Leeuwenhoek is standing behind the counter in his draper's shop. A customer enters.
Good morning, Hans. Can I do anything for you? Anton, my good wife Gretchen has sent me on an errand to purchase some white muslin.
Yeah?
Now, what do I know about muslin, I said to her. And she said, you will go to good Anton Leeuwenhoek, and if he's not too busy wasting his time grinding his lenses, he'll serve you with 12 yards of white muslin.
Yeah.
So here I am, Anton, and I rely upon you to give me the right quality of muslin. For if I return with anything else, my wife will scold me and accuse me of having tarried at an inn drinking schnapps.
Oh, we put up with a good deal from our women, especially when we love them, eh? Now, there's my daughter Maria, for instance.
A fine girl, Anton.
Oh, but what a scold hand. She's another who chaffs me about grinding lenses.
What made you take to grinding lenses, Anton, when you can buy good hand glasses at the spectacle makers?
Oh, those glasses are no good.
But they are. They're so strong and well ground that they make a farthing appear near as big as a penny.
They are crude, useless. Now, the lenses I grind are so strong that they make a hair from my moustache appear as big as, well, the leg of this chair, Hans.
As big as that, Anton?
Yeah.
What is the world coming to?
Oh, that is only one of the many things I have seen through my beautiful lenses. Even the brain of a fly have I stuck on a pin underneath my glass, which made it appear as big as an orange, eh?
Oh, wonderful, astounding. What are you going to do with this knowledge, Anton?
No, nothing. For if I told others what I have told you, they would laugh at me and call me mad. But I'm going to keep on grinding lenses until I get one so perfect and so strong that with it I will be able to see the invisible things which inhabit this world.
Invisible things, Anton? That reminds me. I was talking to Renier de Graaf the other day, and he showed me a letter he had from some new society just formed in England.
Ah, what sort of society, Hans?
I don't know exactly, but young Isaac Newton and Robert Boyle both belong to it.
Yeah.
And they hold secret meetings in cellars, where they practice all sorts of strange arts.
Ooh.
They're afraid Cromwell will get to hear about it. Renier said they were experimenting or something, trying to prove whether old Aristotle was right or wrong. It seems they haven't any faith in these old teachers any longer. I told Rainier about you and your lenses.
Ah, yeah. What did he say, Hans?
Well, he appeared to be interested and said he was going to write to this society and tell them all about you.
Oh, maybe de Graaf would like to look through my lenses, eh? And see some of the things I've seen.
I'll tell him to come and see you, Anton.
Yeah.
And now, well, come on. You'd better give me that muslin and let me get away home. I'll be having Gretchen after me, I will.
Yes, Hans. That is right. 12 yards of muslin, you said. Nice. Now, this one here is an excellent quality.
Good.
Later, the society mentioned by Hans was given the patronage of King Charles II and assumed the grandiose title of the Royal Society of England. And Renier de Graaf, who was a member, decided to pay Le Houvenuk a visit.
So you are a member of the Royal Society of England, eh, Graf?
That is so, my friend.
And Hans told you about my lens, eh?
Yes, Anton. And I was hoping that you'd permit me to see for myself the wonders which your glass makes visible.
Oh, that I will gladly do. But first I must call my daughter. Maria.
What is it you want
of me, Father? Come, Maria. I want you to take care of the shop for me.
And why can't you take care of the shop, Father? You know I'm busy with my baking. My hands are covered in flour. And yet you say, Maria, come and take care of the shop.
No, but, my dear, this gentleman is a member of the Royal Society of England. And he wishes to see my lenses.
Lenses, glasses. I'm sick of them. You bring all the rubbish in the world home and place it under your stupid glass. Your lens, as you call it. First it's the eye of a bullock, then it's the ear of a pig. Next an old piece of wood or some hair from a sheep. And then you bring a fish. Next you catch a fly, cut it up and hold the pieces on a pin beneath your lens. Then you examine a bee sting.
Young lady, you don't realize what a clever father you've got.
I realize what a crazy one I've got. Why, only last night he went out into the garden and brought in some drops of rainwater in a little glass tube and stuck those under his lens. So what did he hope to find in two or three drops of water? Maybe a fish or two, perhaps. Now, go back into your little room at the back of the shop and stay there with your lenses and your rubbish. Well, I attend to our good customers who keep the roof over our heads.
Come, de Graf. We will enter my little room, eh? Yeah, now that's better. Now we can talk in peace.
Your daughter seems a trifle terse.
All women get terse when disturbed at their baking, but Maria's really devoted to me and nurses me like a mother, bless her heart.
Your daughter mentioned an experiment you made last night with drops of rainwater.
Yeah, and if I were to tell you what I saw in those clear drops, you would say I was insane. Therefore, I will not waste time telling you. I will let you see for yourself. It is raining now, so I will go out into the garden and collect some raindrops fresh from the clouds, and also some rain which has fallen into the earthenware vessel we keep in the garden to measure the rain which falls. I won't be a moment. My word, the little vessel is almost full. Over an inch of rain has fallen.
You'd better hurry, my friend, or you'll be soaked to the skin.
I'm coming in now. There we are. Now, here are two glass tubes. Look, one contains raindrops fresh from the clouds. We will place that beneath the lens first. Now, wait till I focus it properly. Now look through it and tell me what you see.
Well, I can see nothing but clear water.
Of course you can't, because that water has not been contaminated by the little animals.
Animals? What animals, Leuvenuk?
Wait, I will show you, de Graf. Well, we will now put the glass tube containing the rainwater which fell into the earthen vessel beneath the lens. Now tell me what you see, eh?
Good heavens! It's alive with myriads of weird little creatures.
Yeah?
Some have legs.
Yeah.
Others are like straight rods. Others are like links of a chain.
Yeah.
What do you suppose they are, Leuvenuk?
They are the unseen assassins which spread disease and death through the land. They are so tiny, de Graf, that a million of them would fit on the head of this pin. They are more deadly than the cobra, and until now they have been invisible, unsuspected. They're in the air, in the water, in the food we eat. Even our own bodies are alive with them.
Yes, but what are they?
Microbes, de Graf. The people of Delft have laughed and jeered at me. They have spoken of me in terms of derision, and they have regarded me more or less as the village idiot. I've been the butt of their jokes. Boys have thrown stones at my windows, and once they broke into this little room and smashed all the lenses I had taken so much trouble to grind. But I set to work and made more lenses. Each one was bigger than the last, until I have now made one so perfect and so powerful that we have been able to see through it into the invisible kingdom of these foul creatures, these microbes, these bitter unseen enemies of mankind. I wonder if the townsfolk will laugh at me and my lens now, my wonderful microscope, the magic eye which has found the invisible enemy of mankind.
The Royal Society of England were so impressed at de Graaf's reports that they commissioned Robert Hooke and Nehemiah Grew to make them a microscope similar to Leeuwenhoek's. But there were no lenses in the world as good as those ground by the old Dutchman. Later, he was made a fellow of the Royal Society, and his fame spread through Europe. Peter the Great of Russia and the Queen of England visited him and gazed in wonder through his microscope. But even this singular honor did not turn his head, and for years he carried on his business and continued to gaze through his microscope. He experimented with the tail of a fish and was the first man to discover the capillary blood vessels through which blood passes from the arteries to the veins, thereby completing Harvey's discovery of the circulation of the blood. Now we find him in the year 1723 at the wonderful old age of 91. He is bedridden and is talking to his old friend Hooglet.
Hooglet, my friend, will you do me a favor?
Gladly, Anton. What is it?
50 years ago, I promised to give the Royal Society my microscopes when I died. I want you to pack them carefully and send them to England for me, together with these letters containing details of my last experiment. Will you do this for me?
I promise.
That is well, Hooglet. The people used to laugh at me.
Anton, don't speak of those times. The poor townsfolk didn't understand how great you were. Nor did they realize what those lenses of yours would mean to science.
No, they didn't realize that one day my microscopes would be used in every laboratory in the world. That these same microscopes would enable men of science to track down the invisible assassins, thereby making it easier for those who will come after us to find means of exterminating these foul microbes. No, they laughed at me. Poor, crazy old Anton Leeuwenhoek, the Dutch draper. But now it is my turn to laugh. And he who laughs last, laughs longest.
Anton, my friend, and now it is death's turn to laugh.